seen cheese move. As I said, use floating point position things. Steal the code from my cheese moving code because it means you've got very nice smooth movement going on. As it says, use the display width and height to manage the size of your objects. Although, as I'll show you in a minute or two, you can disregard that completely and work for a fixed particular size should you prefer to travel in that particular way. Little bit of XNA here. If you know it, you've seen it already. If not, then this is the code to make it work. The cheese game will return in the form of Cheese Lander, which is where you have to land a piece of cheese on a piece of bread as you do. The cheese comes down, blah, 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 and if it intersects with the bread, then we have to see whether you've won or not. And the code in my Cheese Lander program that does that is basically here. Do I intersect with the bread? If I do, then see if the cheese is central on the bread, because that's the winning condition. So the Cheese Lander game is basically tip your phone to land the cheese upon the bread. All the sorts... You're keeping a straight face, but only just. This is a serious professional programming business. Yeah. I do exams on cheese back at home. Absolutely. Moving on. So it's how you do it. Okay, the code is there. And so the rectangle class exposes an intersects class, which you can use to see if two things intersect. It also exposes a contains method, which you can use to see if one points inside it. That's very good for picking up touch events and deciding whether things have been touched on the screen or not, of which more a bit later as well. So all the excitement. Orientation, though, this is really a follow-on from what Andy was saying this morning, but with the XNA approach to it. There are mechanisms by which you can specify your game runs in a particular orientation, or you can actually have the game automatically manage the machine being flipped. And as you can see here, I've got the cheese top left-hand corner there, there, and there. So this is actually managing the fact that whichever way you play Cheese Lander, you still get the same kind of experience. It's a bit of a pain because the dimensions change, and you have to manage the fact that you have to have a texture which is bigger than the screen area, so when you flip, you don't lose any detail, and you have to have like dead zones around and things, but it's not hard to do, I'm going to show you how to do it. I can force a game. If you just say, right, I don't want to mess around with orientation changes, I want to basically say, please be 480 pixels in width and 800 high. That means I'm heading for portrait orientation, and that will effectively force that. So the system goes, okay, and whatever they do with their phone, it'll be a portrait game. Now, you were locking them using properties of the window in XAML. We're doing it here by specifying the properties. At the bottom line on this, though, very important point, this uses a scaler. Okay, the scaler, not to do with kettles.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's the other joke. Now, moving on. The scaler is a piece of hardware which does magical things. Basically, it takes whatever sizes you say are the preferred ones and upscales them to fit the hardware.
Right.
So you can go from 240 by 240 to 800 by 480 or vice versa, using the scaler to actually hardware scale the screen. If it won't fit, if the aspect ratio is wrong, we put black bars in to actually crop it, so it letterboxes and makes it look okay. As far as we're concerned, also from a program point of view, the viewport properties and the touchscreen positions you get from your program always match the scaled screen. So as far as you're concerned, the good news is it just works. Okay, but it gets even better, because what you can do, having set your scale, is that you can draw things at a low resolution and upscale them for a higher resolution. So you can get performance hikes by drawing things small and then scaling up. Because the scaler doesn't slow your program down, it's done in hardware. In terms of orientations, yes, your game can also say, I can support these things, portrait, landscape left, or landscape right, or any combination of those. So you could have a game that you can tip over for landscape but not hold vertically. And you basically have these flags that you combine to get the effects you want. You do this in the constructor of the game object right at the start, and the next XNA just sorts everything else for you. The game above, as it says on the slide, can do anything. So I can tip my thing how I like, and it will just work. Okay, detecting it, yep. Another event you can bind to is the Windows Phone window orientation change event. So if you want your game to rescale and change the size of things and basically handle the fact that suddenly it's the other way up, you can actually get control on an event and do that. And I think the next slide is actually the demo which shows me doing this. So if I now drop back onto my desktop, here's one I've prepared earlier, in that I've got a copy of Cheese Lander running. Here it is. If we look at the actual game, make it a bit bigger so you can see, I can support any orientation. And if I get an orientation changed event, then I'm going to hit this particular event handler. Now, I'll show you the first bit. If I twizzle my emulator around, the cheese stays in the top left-hand corner. Okay. Now, again, this will not be news to developers, but might be news to phone developers, and it works on the phone as well. My little method, which changes the orientation, which I'm going to go and find in a minute, if I just right-click on there and say go to definition, now that should do it. If I put a breakpoint in here as the program is running, come on, there's a good lad, you can do it. Having said how wonderful it is, the idea is that I now change the orientation and we hit the breakpoint and the program stops and we all do cartwheels. Unfortunately, I'm going to start the program, I'm running it again, and it'll be okay. yes, okay, that's fine. Mother told me there will be days like these. So now if I flip the orientation, it doesn't hit the breakpoint. Right, okay, we're going to have to move on.
Moving on.
But it would do if the universe was perfect. I seem to have dropped through a wormhole into a parallel universe, but this demo doesn't work.
Right.
For that, I apologise. I'll look into that. You try it at home and let me know how you get on. If you could sort of ring up, well, nothing worked. He spun his cheese around and the event didn't fire. I'll put that on my tombstone now. Here lies Rob, the man who couldn't pick up rotating cheese. Or maybe they won't. Actually, I don't really mind what they write on my tombstone. I quite like the idea of having "not dead yet" written on my tombstone, but maybe that won't come to pass either. So
it's like Spike Milligan. I told you I was ill.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yes, performance. You do have to watch performance. I've made a little component which I've called frame rate counter, which you can steal if you wish. XNA, not got time to go into details, but basically you can componentize game elements so that you can then bind them to the game framework and have them have their load content, initialize, draw, and update behaviors called for you. And so the idea here is if you want to have a moving, scrolling backdrop, some sprites on there, maybe a high score display, and some bad guys or something, each of those can be a game component you drop on to actually layer the displays, and they can run independently of each other. So you can change the background behavior from a sea to a sky or whatever, and it'll all just fit together. And these components are loaded in the construction of the game. And I've made one which effectively works out the frame count and then displays it on the screen as text. And it's actually fairly simple. It's based on some stuff that's been put out there. And so what I want to show, just to finish this off, is how you can use the frame counter to measure the performance. And to make things extra interesting and double scary, we're going to actually use the real device for this. So we'll see how many stars we can actually get before our frame counter starts to drop. So I'll get rid of the non-working rotating cheese. Never thought I'd say that in my mind. That's not the kind of phrase you had to come up with.
You woke up this morning,
I didn't think. Some point in today, if I'd been to a fortune teller and they'd said, sometime today you will say non-working rotating cheese, I would not have believed them. This is a game, again, you're perfectly allowed to steal the content from this. This is Starlight. It's a sprite-based shoot 'em up type game. And I'm going to bite the bullet and I'm going to go straight for it. And I'm going to deploy this on my Windows Phone device, which is here, which is presently showing the back soon animation. And once we get that going, if you can see that there, in a minute or two, it's deploying quite happily. It has to do a fair bit of work because it has to push down the images for the sprites, the background music, and all that kind of good stuff. When that's finished, which should be in a minute or two, then I can stop talking, this screen should flip from the back soon program, and we should actually have the program running on the phone. And you'll see that it's actually quite a nice little game. It only has level one. Once you've killed all the aliens, the game ends, which is rather unfortunate. But you can see quite easily add things. It still thinks it's deploying. A little thing is flashing. If I was the kind of person that got nervous and had his cheese not rotate a few minutes ago, this is the point at which I would start to get nervous. But fortunately, I'm made of sterner stuff than this.
Indeed.
There were deployment errors. Of course there were. Deploy failed. Right, fine.
I failed to connect,
yes, okay. That's probably because I did something wrong. Let's press the button again. If this doesn't work, oh gosh, no. Right, fine. Let's do it on the emulator. And what I'll do is I'll promise in the next break you can go to the toilet or you can watch me fail to make this work. We'll sort it out. Anyway, let's hit the emulator and I'll show you what the program is supposed to do. Because we haven't really got time. It's quite fun watching me panic, but Stop smiling. Not a nice person. I thought you were nice, but
I am your friend, Rob.
He's your friend. Really? One friend. Send me a text. Cheer me up. All right. Starlight. Touch the screen to play. Basically, I do that. I've got a whole bunch of aliens. I can steer the spacecraft around by touching. When I touch the screen, it moves towards the point I've touched, and it fires missiles. And if I crash into things, then I actually lose lives. And the aliens will ignore me until I shoot at them, at which point some of their legs drop off and they come and chase me. And that's Starlight. And the background is basically a sequence of moving dots. If I stop the program from running now, I'll show you effectively we have a sprite class, which is then extended to provide different kinds of sprites that contain textures. But the thing I wanted to show you, which is most interesting, is I'm using a fixed graphics. I don't want this game to actually use more than 480 by 100 portrait mode. And if we drift down here, I have a variable called number of stars, which is how many stars are on the screen. And what I'm going to do now is go to the definition of this variable and make it a lot bigger. At the moment, I have 500 stars in the background. Okay, let's make that 1500. Now let's make it 5000. I'm going to push the boat right out till it sinks. Watch what happens. So now, we're good. It's like a snowstorm now. Got an awful lot more. Again, you're not getting the full experience because you're running it, you're seeing it through the visualizer. But if you look very carefully at the top, well, let's put the frame counter on and see how we're doing frame counter-wise. So stop the program. Go back into here. Add the frame counter component and run the game up. And let's see how close to 30 we get. And I will make this work on the phone because I'd like you to see just how many dots this thing can handle. The phone is an awesomely powerful device in terms of how many things I can put on there before it starts to chug. And so now my frame counter is showing, yes, it's up to 30. On the phone, on the computer, that's not terribly surprising. But on the phone, you can get up to large numbers of stars before it starts to suffer. So, yeah, more on that a bit later. But I would like to keep moving forward if everyone's okay with that. So what we'll do is we'll actually stop that. Again, feel free to steal Starlight. If you make a fortune from this game, remember my kids and their sketches have it. Send me money through.
So that's interesting. The performance on the device is comparable to the emulator.
Up to a point.
Right.
I would say, somewhat dangerous to think in terms of, I'm going to just unplug this. I'm going to unplug the phone and plug it back in again. Because that phone, my mother taught me these things. The performance, please don't draw any parallels between the device performance and the PC performance. I'd hate you to do that. It would have been interesting if they'd actually managed to make the two things line up precisely. But that's not something that they've ever actually claimed to do. It will give you a good feel for how it'll look and how it'll behave. And if you use the updates at 60 hertz and all that kind of good stuff, then absolutely you'll be fine. But please don't think the two things line up.
The emulator is very high performance, but it is itself running in a virtual machine,
yes,
isn't it? So you're not running at sort of native PC performance, if you like. You've got the overheads of running in the VM there.
Now, one of the interesting things, if you're used to running emulations on the PC of Windows Mobile devices in the old days, for the old versions of Windows Mobile, then they actually ran as a completely separate thing, emulating the actual machine code of the device itself.
That's right.
So you'd be actually making the thing behave like the ARM processor that's supposed to be there. That's not what Windows Phone emulation does. You'll notice this if you try and hit the emulator at an IP address, because you'll find that the emulator effectively is on the same local host as your PC, whereas in Windows Mobile land, the two things had separate IP addresses. And that's an interesting little aside. Deploy succeeded.
Yeah, we've got a
result. So we're going to have a moving...
Are you going to put it on that camera? Or?
I'll put the tiny camera on in a second so we can see this go. I want to see it run first, though. See how many...
Shall I switch it over for you?
I go and do that.
All right. If you get the video display up in live meeting, you're to see this running on the real device.
So we're down, according to my frame counter, at 23 frames a second. But that's with 5,000 stars.
Right.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
And what's happening, the way I'm getting the impression of depth is very simple. I'm basically saying the further away the sprite is, the smaller it is. So the big ones, just like in real life, things that are big go past more quickly. So this is all completely fake. I pick a random speed and a random and that's it. The drawing is then done. It's each of those sprites is a single texture, a PNG file, which is a round dot. that's being scaled by the hardware and then drawn. And I'm getting 20 hertz on that. And if I touch the screen, then it's pausing because it's loading some music. And this is an issue with the real thing which causes it to crash. So what I will do, for some reason, it was like my song. I spent ages recording this song and putting it into an MP3 file, and then it didn't let me play it.
You said something about DRM. You've got.
Well, no, I haven't protected it because, quite frankly, it's just not. It's rubbish. it's really. It doesn't have me singing.
Yeah.
But maybe version 2 could do that. So we're redeploying it now. We're back in. It's running. And so what you should see now is when the game starts, we can actually see the aliens moving about and start shooting things at them and using touch, which will be so exciting. Deploy succeeded. I like the sound of the word success.
Yep, that's always a good feeling.
Me and success go back a long way. never met, though. so I'll just keep honest. I'm getting cramp in my arm for the sake of the viewers. The amount of pain and suffering we go through for the people
indeed.
Want to watch our games. So in a minute or two, it'll start running. Please start running. I'll tell my favourite joke in all the world, OK?
Go on, please do.
Long, okay? a horse walks into a bar, and the barman says, "Why the long face?" And I got a titter. Oh dear. Okay, we've just right. That's it.
You are.
That's it. I'm going now. That's it. Paul's microphone out. Runs away. The big problem for me personally is that I'm too old to join the Foreign Legion. I did actually write and ask, and they said, "No, you're too old. And besides, Rob, the uniform wouldn't fit you." So from that point of view, we will return to that. But you have seen it run, and so I'm going to call that a mostly win.
A mostly win.
One of the things I learned from an early age is to set low standards, Rob. You'll be fine. Don't aim too high. Don't worry about this walking and talking. Just get one of them right. And so feel free to work on that and use the frame counter. And I think the next thing we do is answer some questions. So there you go. We'll do this fairly quickly because I want to keep momentum forward. Failed demos really slow you down, don't they? And so Windows Phone does not support 3D. Anybody here think that's true?
So, yeah, just a reminder, yellow for true and purple for false, please.
A lot of yellow. I like the sound of that. No, I don't, do I? Yellow for true and purple for false.
Is that what we agreed?
No,
yes.
No, it's the other way around. The answer to that one is it is not the case. We get 3D for free. It's lovely. Your game was called the update method 60 times a second. So if you think that's true, go purple. If you think it's false, go yellow.
Okay.
Your game must call the update method 60 times a second. If you think it's true, purple. If you think it's false, yellow. I'm getting confused now.
Yep.
Everybody's
mostly yellow.
Mostly yellow. Everybody's right. You don't call update. The world calls update for you. Pick a yellow square and give them a prize.
All right. I'm going to go down here. That one. Andrew Wu.
Okay.
So
Andrew Wu. If you want to make a private question telling me your name and address and where the T-shirt should be sent to, then we'll get a T-shirt out to you at an enormously quick speed.
Well
and
done.
We'll keep moving forward. X-Nay Games run at 320 by 260. Rubbish. They can, but you can make them anything you like, and the scaler will do it. Windows Phone only works in landscape. Oh, you do tell some awful fibs, Rob. And we will be looking at a clean, full house of reds, except for the fact that Windows games can detect when the phone orientation changes. We get green at the bottom. So there you are. If you know XNA, all this stuff will be of use to you. If you don't know XNA much, then spend some time finding out. Buy my book. Colour it in. answer the questions. It's a good place to go. So coming up, next thing I want to do is move on to the next presentation, which is all about the accelerometer, which is when you move on to the phone, the Americans have this word challenge. Which means it's other people use the word difficult or tricky. Americans use the word challenge. Thanks, great.
It's challenging.
We challenge. The phone brings a challenge, if you like. In the previous things, you could press buttons to make stuff happen. On the phone, you can't do that. There are no buttons. You've got two ways the users can interact with your device: accelerometer and touchpad. We're going to cover both of them, and the first one we're going to talk about is accelerometers. So this is how you, it's good news, bad news. The good news is that you can make very novel and interesting applications and spirit levels. You could hang your picture level on the wall using the accelerometer, and that will work a treat. But you have to work to do these. You have to learn how to do this stuff. And so here we go, we're going to do that. As far as we're concerned, the hardware, right? I'm not quite sure how it works. I think it uses some kind of... I know it's not a spinning gyroscope. That's what I do know, because it wouldn't fit in the box. But effectively, you get acceleration in X, Y, and the other one, whatever that is, X, Y, and Z. If you want to just use X and Y, which is what I do, effectively, you've got the tipping of the game. And the nice thing about the way it works is you get values that look remarkably like the numbers you get from gamepads, in that they go from minus 1 to plus 1 on each axis. So you can pretty much use the inputs from accelerometer as a replacement for a thumbstick on the gamepad, should you wish to do that, with the extremes of movement. I actually do some scaling to make it work a bit better, because tipping it... problem with the tipping is, tip the game that way, you can't see the screen anymore. So don't tip it too far to make things happen. Mm. But values of 0 means it's flat on that axis, so you can actually make this into spirit level as well. You could learn all this and check it out in books, but what Robert does is he basically gets a game running and then fiddles with the numbers to make it play right. This is why game companies have enormous labs full of playtesting people, whose job it is actually to play games and see if they work. And so what happens is that effectively I get it going and I fiddle with the numbers till it feels okay, and then I think in terms of shipping it, and away we go. So that's where we are with this, and I'd encourage you to do the same. And you can steal my program. Now, there's a slight issue here, which is that unlike other XNA devices, the one on XNA 4.0 on the phone is driven by events. Now, if you're an XNA diehard, you'll be used to actually asking the keyboard or the mouse or the gamepad or indeed the touchpad to tell me how you are during the update. You basically, the clock goes tick, you rush in there, you ask the gamepad, okay, where are you? It tells you where the buttons are. You then update the game state, and then you leave. Okay, that's how XNA games work. But for the accelerometer, can't do that, because what happens is when it's got some new values, it fires an event to tell you. Now, this thing's running asynchronously, and it's basically ticking behind. Oh, actually quite painful. Which I haven't done
yes,
that.
Don't do that.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
But it made the microphone jump. I digress. It's constantly producing new values. You bind to the event which produces these, you put them in a member variable in the game, and you pick them up when you update it. So it's not actually hard to use. You just have to make some extra bits of code to deliver that behavior. One other point worth making, the Zune HD has a totally different way of using the accelerometer. So if you're used to writing code for the Zune, you'll have to repurpose the code. Again, it'll take you all of 10 minutes. The effort involved is very small. You don't use the get state. And in fact, if you look on the web carefully, you'll find that one or two developers have made accelerometer fake devices that work like the old Zune HD used to. They actually cache the values and pass it out. And in fact, I wrote one of these, took about 10 minutes. In fact, I wrote a really stupid thing, which you can find on one of my blogs, where I had an Xbox 360 controller driving an XNA game that was serving up a website with the coordinate values, which the phone was then consuming. So I could do this and the phone would tip. But I wouldn't advise this. This is sort of only if you're very stupid and have nothing else in your life to do than write strange code. But if you can dig that out, that's kind of fun. And the conversion is easy enough. What I want to do now is just a little bit of code that tells you how to do this. We're using, just like Silverlight borrows XNA sound, XNA borrows Silverlight's sensors. And so what we effectively do is go off and fetch the sensor library, put it in our XNA game, and at that point, we're in the business of actually writing games. So this is like the yin to the yang, which put the sound stuff in Silverlight. And so if you look here, we have a Microsoft devices.sensors added to our references. And if I go then and look on the next slide, of course, that'll be the namespace, which there it is. It's called Microsoft devices.sensors. And once you've got that, you have an accelerometer. In fact, at the moment, that's the only sensor which is supported. There is some really, if you want to look, get ahead of things, there's some really interesting event-driven stuff that you can take a look at for the phone, where if things happen, you can get lumps of code to fire. We're not going to cover that because it's a bit new for me, but it's worth doing some digging about. But for now, let's get my tipping cheese tipping. So the first thing you do is you make yourself an accelerometer, which I've called ACC. I then bind to the reading changed event, an event handler, which will fire when I get a new reading. And then I call the start method to start the thing running. So once I've done this, this takes place in my initialize method. And once I've done this, I've got myself an accelerometer. Okay. So now this method here will be being called whenever we have new readings.
Right.
And I think the reason they've done it is because it probably doesn't sample as quickly as the other things do. So they couldn't give you a new value every 30th of a second or whatever. It may take longer, but I'm just guessing on that. I don't know. As far as we're concerned, doesn't matter. This is how you do it. Okay. Once you've got that, you're in business. When my event is fired, I get this object passed into it called accelerometer reading event args, which is E. And what I'm doing is I'm taking the X and the Y and the Z values out of this thing, casting them to float and dropping them into a vector. So I've got a 3D vector, a value of X and Y and Z, which is being updated whenever the accelerometer finishes with the new values of X, Y and Z that have been delivered. So that's going to be what I'm going to use in my game to do the tipping thing.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Right? If you're happy, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I'm fine. And I'm just thinking, in a minute, I'll be deploying this. I wonder if it'll work on the phone. Never mind. I'm impervious. I don't know the meaning of the word fear. Or establishment or anything. Anyway, moving on. I digress. So here we go. If I've got an accelerometer state, I basically, this is how I make my cheese move across the screen. Now, the first version of the game just had the cheese speed controlled by the tip. That was too easy. So this one, we control the acceleration by the tip so that the object has now got momentum and will keep on moving until I tip back to slow it down. Now, if you want to write any kind of ball rolling game or anything which uses physics like this, this is a really, really simple physics engine, the simplest you can get. And the idea is that you tip it, it picks up speed, you tip it back to slow it down. It's very like the Moonlander games where you'd fire your engines to change speed. We're doing that, but we're firing the engines controlled by the tipping of the actual phone itself. And so, effectively, I just do this. I also make myself a little 2D vector called the accelerometer vector. And the reason for that is I want to use the magnitude of that to control the sound sample I play when the engines are being fired by my tipping the cheese.
Right.
Is this all making sense?
Yes.
Jolly good. Right, we'll keep moving forward in that case. So, once I've done that, I can press the right button. And we can actually make some... make some stuff work on the device.
We hope.
We hope. Okay. So, nerves of steel and a brain of putty. That might go on my tombstone, actually.
Nerves
of steel and a brain of putty. Yes. That's pretty, what an amazing thought. I'm trying to think of another really funny joke to tell at this point, but since we've already established that I don't do really funny jokes anyway, this is something of a busted flush, which is not a... So... Cheeselander, this is the full-formed, full-fat cheese-landing game, okay? They accept no substitute. If you want to land cheese, you've come to the right place. Take a look at the game. It's basically the engine I've already spoken about, where we think in terms of we have a cheese position which is controlled by a rectangle, and in fact, it's there. I've also got some bread, which is another texture, and another rectangle, which I'm drawing. Then I have my little values. I have a state value which controls whether the game's won, playing, or lost. And that just controls what textures appear when the game goes. I'm making it forced to be a portrait game. I'll just make this a tad bigger so people can see. And then if we go down here, that's my initialize. This is me binding to the accelerometer, and away we go. So having established that the code is completely perfect in every way, I'm now going to fire it up on the device. And in fact, I have a plan which, if this doesn't work, I've actually got the program already on the device, so I can show you it running without having to go through this scary, horrible deploy. But I like doing the deploy because it makes it more real. And apparently people get fair amounts of amusement watching Rob fail to make things work. except if it's DIY at home, in which case the wife is unimpressed. So here we go, it's deploying it. And there's a rattling noise. The phone itself, if I switch to that, how can I do that, Robert? You can...
Shall I?
Master.
I'd be delighted.
Master of the video, if you'll be so kind as to put my phone up. The deployment is still started. In fact, what I'm going to do, because we're pushed for time, is I'm actually going to plug the phone. Boink. Now, what'll happen is, yeah, quick as a flash, it goes, didn't like that. So now, if I go into my XNA games... I'll probably find that I've actually Cheese Lander. There you go. Touch on him. I may actually have broken it. In fact, it's looking that way, isn't it?
You sort of broke the phone.
I think my Cheese Lander is in a mess. I think I've actually...
You've half deployed it, of course.
I've half deployed it, so of course... Yeah. That bang you heard in the background was Robert shooting himself in the foot.
So, what's plan C, Rob?
What's plan C? Well, we've already established, one of the things we talked about when we first did this course is neither of us can juggle. So whatever plan C is going to be, it ain't going to be juggling. I'm quite happy with the fact that I'm probably causing endless hours of amusement, and that I do. Normally speaking, my demos work perfectly every time, but we're not speaking normally then. One last go at this, and then I'm going to move on. But as I say, unfortunately, if I just run it or not run it, it would have been fine either way, but Robert being Robert had to do it wrong. So there you go. There's a lesson here for all of us. I've just forgotten what it is. So it's deployed okay. It's going to now run. I know it is. I can feel it in my water. Here we go. Right. So cheese lander. There you go. The cheese, the thing is presently level. I'll turn the volume up on the phone so you can hear the amazing sound effects. So we go up to full volume. So there's my cheese. If I tip the thing, the cheese starts to fall down the screen very slowly, building up speed. The idea is to get the cheese.
Bring it down
you can't
a bit.
See it. Yeah, okay. You can just see the cheese. There it goes. It's falling down the screen towards the bread. And the idea is to get the cheese to land on the bread at a reasonable speed. And if I tip it further, cheese is now picking up speed, falling down. This could be a good one. This could be a great one. I think it's going to miss, though, actually. If you can just see the cheese falling down there. I want to lose, I think, actually. Yeah, there you go. Cheese lander, you lost. Okay?
Yep.
Now, like I said about playtesting, this game could do with a bit of modification to make it better or work. And I've just broken my webcam as well, so there you go. So I lost my cheese lander there. What I'd fiddle with is the actual performance, the acceleration and scaling to make it work better. But what you did see, I hope, in fact I know, is that we were tipping the phone and the cheese was picking up speed. So we're reading the accelerometer, all's well with the world. I'm wondering if I'm going to sleep tonight. And I'm thinking almost certainly not, because we're doing all this again on Thursday. And I'll have all my demos going by then, I promise. So, tipping game, you know how to make it work. Tipping games, so, if you want to make a ball rolling game, you've got it. Okay? Very simple physics model, that's all you need. You could add some friction. Just multiply the x and y values by, say, 0.999 or something, so that the object slows down, so that you've got a bit more. At the moment, we're in space. The cheese just goes on at a particular speed forever.
Right.
But if you actually multiply the speeds by some value, which makes them get smaller each time, you can make it slow down. So that's all there is to it, really. And yes, you've seen it go. If you want to fake it, well, you can make fake ones. Go to my blog, like I said. It's a really convoluted and heinous way to do it, but it's mildly amusing, it does work. I made that work as well.
So that'll be for developing this sort of game using the emulator.
One of the MVPs out there has made an emulator which is much more sensible than mine and uses a Wii remote. So that they've actually got that working. So you tip the remote and you get the behaviour inside the game. But they have done it in the same way, by pushing the numbers in through a web host, which is then consumed by the actual phone emulator. So that's nice. So here we go. Quick review. Only provides X and Y.
So if you think that's true, we need to see your seat going, what are we saying? Purple.
Purple for true. Purple is true.
And yellow for
yellow
false.
Yellow for false. Okay.
Yeah.
As yellow, as a spread of yellow in the land.
A spread of yellow, that seems to be the consensus.
Which makes me think that possibly this might be rubbish. Because everybody forgets Z.
Yep.
So anyone that said yellow, give yourself a pat on the back and a winning smile. we'll not give you a prize for that, though, because that one's too easy. Okay? I've already told you that one. This only creates an event for each new winning. Yes, it does. It's event-driven. I'm ahead of myself. It's part of the sensor's namespace, true or false. I'm going to just go past that one and say that one is actually true. And the prize-winning question, both Silverlight and XNA use this in the same way.
So we need purple
for true.
Yellow for false, please.
Oh, I'm watching the chat. You guys are great. You guys rock. You're changing colour on cue. It's great. It's almost like we're teaching them stuff. It's amazing. So,
Jörg Seibert, please. You are the winner. So if you can, please send
it's true.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Wonderful.
Send a private question through, please.
Let us know where you are and what you're at, and we'll send you And we'll send you a T-shirt, tout de suite, or even quickly, which would be better. So, right, okay. What we'll do now is we'll
so, please change all. Everybody change back to green now.
Back to green.
Unless you have genuinely got a problem, in which case, obviously, we need to know about it.
Or you like purple.
Indeed.
Steven Spielberg's film that won an Oscar or something. Well, maybe I'm wrong on that. Okay. I'm going to have a lie down in a minute, as are we. 8 minutes to the break, guys. So get the kettle on. No, don't. Stay. Got another 8 minutes, and then we move on to it. So next thing I want to do is just basically follow on from the sound effects piece that we talked about with regard to Silverlight. Sound effects, we'll cover those in a minute or two when I start playing a bit more Cheeselander. But the idea here is that we've got XNA Game Sound Edition, controlling sound playback. One of the things you want to do in the game is make sounds that loop, play repeatedly, and you may also want to manage the actual sound playback pitch or position on the fly. So we'll look at how you do that and look at a little revisit to the Silverlight side of things as well. So sound in XNA games is actually really easy to add. If you're an XNA developer, then you may have had experience with the exact sound fields. Now, this is a tremendously powerful sound field creation tool that you get free with the XNA framework if you download it, and it works fine on Windows PC and Xbox, and it basically means you can script samples, so you can take a gunshot, a ricochet, and the sound of the cartridge falling to the floor as three separate sounds and build them into a composite sound effect. Right. And you can make the gunshot and the ricochet play at different frequencies each time they're played, so that you get pew, 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 pew kind of effects.
Okay.
Very little expense. And you build these samples up and you load them into a game and you play them. They're a bit hard to use and they aren't available on the phone. So if you want to use Exact, I'm afraid you can't. You're stuck with sound effects on the phone. As far as I'm concerned, not a problem at all, because you can get an awful long way with things. Everything else on the phone is the same. We load sound effects as content items, pull them in at the start of the game and play them as the game runs. That's how it all works. But again, slightly fewer simultaneous voices. In XNA land, sound effects are content. So you pick them up and drop them in, and then you just pull them in. You saw textures being brought in a second or so ago. You can see sound effects being brought in as sounds in the same way. And the content manager will fetch that for you, no problem at all. And again, we talked about content libraries. You can write your own should you wish to do that. It's entirely up to you. XNA sounds, yeah. As far as we're concerned, WAV files we're going to be using for sound effects. MP3s and WMAs, we can play those as background music, as songs, as parts of media.
And these playback methods are unique to the XNA way of programming, or is it the same way that we access them from Silverlight?
Silverlight and XNA both share the same sound effect mechanism.
Right.
So we loaded the XNA class into the Silverlight game to get the sounds to play. Now I'm showing you it in its natural habitat, as it
yep.
were, on the real thing.
Okay.
And the thing I'll mention, which is worth bearing in mind as well, if you want to play around with sounds and make your own royalty-free sound effects, don't nick big chunks of The Simpsons, because that's illegal, what we're supposed to do. But if you want to make your own, I got good results. Here's a good tip. Take a saucepan, half fill it with water, hit it with a wooden spoon, and that sounds amazing.
Right.
Really. Life in my house is just one long saucepan-hitting, spoon-bashing party. It's true. If you want to capture sounds and play around with them, have a look at Audacity. It's a free download from SourceForge, and it's a very, very good WAV file editing program. You can trim the samples, you can combine them, you can change the speed, you can add echo, you can reverse them. You can do all kinds of good things with sound. And it's a free program, and it works extremely well, and it pushes out WAV files.
It's also a hot tip. If you play guitar in a band like I do, and you're trying to learn a song, and you're not tuned at the same pitch, you can actually sample it.
It'll pitch shift, will it?
You can change the pitch of it as well. So I use it for that. Very
good.
Useful.
Yep. Fantastic. It's the stuff you learn, the good stuff we're giving these folks, they are so lucky.
Yeah.
We digress. Okay, content, add it in and drop it. This is one of the games that I've got. There's basically, in amongst the bread and the cheese PNG files, we've got the WAV files for the explosion, the lost sound, and the one sound. So we have all the stuff that we need in there amongst the content. There's a slight change in XNA 4.0. Content is now a separate project. It's a separate part of the solution. It was merged in with the solution previously, but From the point of view of using it at this level, no difference. And again, I made those files there by just dragging them out of a folder and dropping them into the Solution Explorer in Studio, and hey presto, it just works.
Again, can you only have one content project? I mean, I've got this, I think it from a Silverlight point of view, we quite often put like common business logic in a class library so you can reuse it across multiple solutions.
There's several ways you could do that. You could include the content as a reference to a content item rather than putting it in. If you put it in, it copies. I think
okay.
You can also include a reference. I can double check that. But you can also use folders to partition things up. And if you change the item in the folder, it'll actually then reload it and repackage it for the game.
All right.
So you can actually, this is not very well organized, but normally I have a sounds folder and a textures folder and a models folder. These are all different kinds of content. The point that's worth making here though is getting it in there is just a drag and drop operation, and then it's all handled for you by the pipeline behind the scenes. And this is analogous to what we did in Silverlight, where we dragged the thing onto the Silverlight game.
All right.
Off it went. So, happiness, songs and smiling. These are the properties, and again, it's a WAV file, so we're using the content importer for WAVs and the content processor for WAVs. These are the ways in which it's brought in, made usable in the game, and then pushed out as an asset that can be picked up when the game runs. The answer to the question really here is zap file, because
yep.
That's where all this ends up. And the zap file is this big lump, this big bundle of content that just gets pushed into the device and then unpicked when the program runs.
All right.
And that contains the assemblies and the resources it uses as well. So it's all, if you're an XNA person, this will all make terrible good sense. So I make some sound effects. I load them in load content. So one sound, lost sound, and engine sound all get pulled in. They're loaded, we're using generics here so that we can pick up the appropriate method to fire off when we're loading the content in the game. And it's very, very, very easy. It all just hangs together rather nicely. This is my game one method for the Cheese Lander. We play the one sound and then we set the state to game state.1. And that's all there is to it. I can't spell method apparently, but that's... those keys are very close on the keyboard. That's my excuse. the keys for the word Fred are in a square.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that amazing? Okay.
Thank you for that observation.
The whole place are all going, wow, I'll use that in the pub tonight. That'll get me a free drink if nothing else. Okay, one more minute before break, okay? But before we do that, I'll just make a point about more complex sound playback. Sound effects are fire and forget. You call play, the sound effect plays and it ends. Sometimes you want to have a sound effect running over an amount of time, and there's a mechanism called the sound effect instance that XNA provides for that. So you basically get an instance of the playing sound, and you can tweak that. And so the syntax is slightly different. What I do is I ask my sound to make me one of these by calling create instance. That will then make an object, bind it to a sound channel, and then sit there waiting for commands. So I've got this thing sitting in memory. I can now make it do things, and I can change properties on it. So I can actually get hold of my sound instance and I can say play at the left, play at the right, play forever in a looping form.
Right.
And so that's what that's all about. Start playing, pause playback and stop. And again, these are very good for engine sounds, background noises in the jungle, all that kind of stuff, where you just want to have the same sample going round and round and round again. And Audacity is very good at finding good split points for your sound, so it doesn't make any clicks when it loops, which is also kind of good. And so that's all there. What I'm doing here is effectively I'm just using a factor which gets the length of the engine force acting on my cheese and using it to control the volume of the sound effect. So the idea here is that the more power I'm applying to my engine, the louder the engine sound is. And I can play around with the pitch in the same way as well. Pitch, -1 to +1. -1 means play at half an octave. +1 means play double pitch. And so this is a way of getting a single sound effect and making it work for several different applications or sounding like you've got lots of different sound effects, which is kind of cute. And the final one is position. I can pan my engine sound from left to right as the thing goes past. And again, as you say, headphones are a boon at this point.
Right.
Otherwise, you won't actually notice the difference. And I can also see whether or not the sound has actually played correctly as well. And so if I want to, I can check to see if it stopped and then play it again, which is a primitive kind of looping. Okay, right, so pressing buttons and nothing's happening. Story of my life. Right. Looping sounds we will do after the break, if everyone's okay with that. I'm running a little bit of time, so if you want to pause now for 10 minutes, I'm going to spend some time feverishly getting Cheeselander to do the sound thing and getting my phone into a good state. But I'll see you in about 10 minutes' time, and we will have, verily, we will have sounds that do loop.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. See you in 10 minutes.
Okay.